This is Cave Scott Allen of OTCode.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Hi, this is John with two quick announcements. First is the obvious name change of NewPack to NewGit. That happened right after this podcast was recorded, so when you hear NewPack, just think NewGit and everything will be just fine. Second is a quick word from our sponsor. JetBrains have just released version 6 of TeamCity, their continuous integration and build management server. One TeamCity 6 feature that stands out for .NET developers is the support for JetBrains.cover. It lets you run unit test coverage analysis and view coverage reports generated by .cover right in your continuous integration environment. As usual, this feature can be found in the free TeamCity Professional Edition that you can grab from JetBrains.com/TeamCity. And now on with the show.
Welcome to this episode of Herding Code, being recorded on October 20th, 2010. Tonight we're talking with David Ebo. He is a software architect on Microsoft ASP.NET and NewPack. He lives in Seattle with his wife, two daughters, two dogs, a cat, and occasionally some mice. So I think that most of the listeners will have heard of ASP.NET, but maybe not everyone has heard of NewPack. So what is NewPack?
Well, NewPack is this package manager that we've been working on for a while and has just gone open source maybe about a month ago. So if you like, I can tell you a little bit about the history of NewPack, how we started working on that, you know, what led to it. So the story kind of starts back at the beginning of this year and maybe around January or February, where we're working in a really in a different domain at the time, in more the web metrics, web pages feature. And at the time, we had found a need that we wanted the ability to, at runtime inside a web pages application, bringing new components. So at the time, it was very much a runtime feature. So you would go to a page in the website and you would download packages that would dynamically be started to be used, you know, in a very runtime-ish fashion. So that was sort of the original ancestor of NewPack.
Okay. Well, what's a quick example there?
A quick example is something like we put together a nice web debugger, which was a really cool debugger that you could use for a web pages app that would allow you to debug CSHTML razor pages directly from the browser. So it's a piece that actually we it's a very nifty piece that we haven't had a chance to release in any form yet, but hopefully we will at some point. But that was sort of the seed. The other one was a database manager, because we were working with a SQL CE. At the time, SQL CE 4.0 had essentially no designer support. So David Fowler, a dev in our group, wrote a little database manager that was also web-based. And then we started looking at those two components and saying, well, it would be nice if those were reusable pieces that could be brought into a running application, you know, by basically going through some admin web UI. And this is where it kind of all started. We started thinking, well, this really is a very general thing. And we started coming up with a little server that had a feed, and that one thing came to another. It became very much a package manager.
This seems a little bit like there's the ASP.NET management website. I forget exactly what it's called, but there was an ASP 2.0 where you could go in and like the membership and roles and all that stuff.
Absolutely, the web admin site. One major difference is that the web admin site, which frankly was never a super successful feature, that thing required you to run a different website. You know, you had your main website, and then you had this little website on the side, which would administer the other one. Mm-hmm. In our case, we were very much trying to have a self-hosted system where within the running website itself, you could go and do those operations.
Okay, so that's some history.
Right, that's really the first step. So What happens after that is that we demoed this feature to Scott Guthrie and to a number of people. And around that time, Scott Guthrie was also meeting with the MVC guys to talk about, you know, what was going to come next. At that point, it was probably around April, I think. And Scott raised the idea of, well, why don't we take this package manager concept farther and make it really something that would be good, not just for the web matrix developers, but also for MVC developers as a feature which would be a good citizen inside Visual Studio. So that was a key meeting that sort of took us from something that was very much an incubation project to something that became very much a real official thing. So, and that's the time where, you know, before that, it was pretty much just me and David Fowler sort of playing around with those concepts. But at that point, we started having a real team. This is when Phil Hack came on board as the program manager, which really has made a big difference for the team. And we also got a couple other devs and a tester. And, you know, at that point, we had a real team. And we also switched our focus to not just support the web-based scenario, but to have a story inside Visual Studio. So this is also at the time, you know, we started working on that a little bit, and we also started looking around at what was going on in the community, and we realized that we were far from the only one looking at this space, and in fact, it had been an incredibly hot space in the past few months, which really came as a sort of a coincidence. We realized, wow, a lot of people are doing things. And in particular, you know, there were various projects. You know, there was Horn, which had been around for a while but hadn't really reached that much success. There was something called OpenWrap. There was also some internal Microsoft thing like CoAP. But we looked at sort of everything out there, and at the time, NewGems was the one that kind of seemed to have a lot of momentum that people were talking about, and we decided to not just work on our own thing and ignore them and reach out to the people behind this new project and try to see, like, you know, did they want to be on board with us and try to work together with them.
Now, that was very much revolved around RubyGems, right?
That's correct. So their specific implementation was RubyGems based. And, you know, that is not a direction that we ourselves wanted to take. But in terms of the goal that they had for the product, you know, the user experience of bringing in packages for applications, and also a lot of experience that those guys, specifically, you know, Drew Sellers, Rob Reynolds, and Bill Simser, they had thought about all of the a lot of the issues that we were bound to encounter ourselves. So there was a lot of experience to be gained from discussing things with them.
Okay, and so the way this works now is I would get the software onto my system, then I had the ability in Visual Studio to just request different third-party libraries.
That's correct. I mean, really, the flow is, say you start from, you just install Visual Studio, you have nothing. You would first go to the extension manager in Visual Studio, and you just type new pack, and in literally under 10 seconds, you would have the new pack V6 installed on your machine, after which you just bring in the little window, which is the, we call it the package manager console. And from there, you have the ability to install packages. So actually, a little more about the fact that we're using this package manager console is basically PowerShell hosted inside Visual Studio, which has a number of interesting aspects, which lets us do some very interesting automation in our packages. You know, to give you an example, a package can come with some PS1 scripts that will execute when you either install them or every time the app starts or something like that.
And those scripts get access to the Visual Studio object model?
That's correct, the DTE. Yes. So actually, a little bit about the history of this package manager console. It is actually not something that we wrote ourselves, but it's something that was already available out there because we looked, you know, we knew we wanted PowerShell inside Visual Studio, and we went to the existing app gallery and we saw, oh, there is something called Power Console that claims to do just that. So we played around with it and it seemed to work nicely. And we also found that it had been written by a Microsoft guy who we ended up contacting and talking to. And, you know, one thing led to another. We basically took his code base and integrated it into NewPack. So, well, a little bit about the name. Yeah, I meant to mention that earlier. The reason we ended up with the name NewPack was that our code name for the feature internally was initially NPack, you know, NPACK. And once we had joint effort with those guys, we kind of put together what seemed to be the obvious name that put together the two technologies, and we ended up with NewPack. So It's not like a great name. We were actually thinking of potentially moving away from that. So, but it's kind of the name we started out with.
I don't know. It seems to have kind of caught on. I mean, as opposed to like the Windows Package Management Framework, CTP.
Whatever. Yeah, I know. Yeah, don't worry. I mean, the name may not stay new pack, but we're not going to let like the big marketing machine give us a crazy name. So we actually have some ideas what we might name it, but nothing is finalized yet.
So one just kind of small thing in passing, but I saw that there was some kind of relationship between Newpack, the package manager console, and the power console, or whatever it was called, when I first installed it, because I had the Reflector add-in installed.
Yes.
And so then I got some errors about the power console, and it was registered twice, and it looked all weird.
Yeah, we kind of messed up a little bit on the setup aspect, because the reality is, since we took all the sources from Power Console, the VS package ID between Power Console and Newpack is actually the same. So they tend to clash together if you have both. The good news is that Newpack is basically a superset of Power Console. So once you have Newpack, you have no reason to keep Power Console. In fact, we'll probably just deprecate Power Console from the gallery, because there's no reason to keep it now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As far as the error you found, the Reflector add-in, that's just a bug. There was a tricky bug in PowerShell, was interacting in a funny way with Reflector, but you know, luckily the latest version of Reflector actually fixes that issue, so that is now behind us.
So here's a two-part question for you. What, if I were to go out right now, what packages are available already? And the second part of the question would be, how would I make a new package available?
Yeah, these are great questions. So that's actually pretty interesting, because when we went public, so you know, I described sort of the first two phases, the phase that was incubation and the phase when we started talking to new guys. And then the third phase is when we went public. And at the time, we really were not ready in terms of server infrastructure to hold our package feed. We had some very preliminary code. And at the time, the only packages that we had were things that we had put together by hand just to get the feed started, basically. And at the time, we had, I think, about 20. And things have been growing like at a fairly crazy rate. And after only being out for, I think, 2 weeks, if I look now, we have 147 packages. So this additional, you know, whatever, 127 were things that were contributed by random people out there who tried Newpack, liked it, and figured, hey, this is my favorite library, but it's not on there. Let me add it up there. So to answer your first question about what's out there right now, I mean, if you look at the feed, there's all kind of thing from all of the various n-hibernate components are on there. All the castle stuff is on there. You got log4net. Generally, most of the well-known open source .NET projects have made their way onto the feed, and hopefully those who haven't will sometime soon.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. Pretty much everything that you would, like you're saying, all the top open source .NET projects seem to be there, which is amazing how quick that's been.
Yes, yes. And what's interesting is that really the process that we currently have for people to upload packages is really, really poor, because we're not by any means, we were not ready for that. You know, our goal going forward is to end up with a gallery that's going to be analogous to what VS has for their extensions. But in the short term, to tell you the way people have to submit packages today is by enlisting in our Mercurial repository. You know, we have the Newpack Codeplex site, and we have another one that's Newpack packages. So you have to enlist in that, and then you have to do all kind of tricky thing and send the package submission basically as a Mercurial check-in, which is much, much, much harder than it will be eventually. But in spite of that, we found that people were submitting packages left and right. So it's been very exciting.
So it must be pretty straightforward to build a package.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, most packages, you know, there are several features that are supported in packages, but the main one is the ability to have DLLs, basically, assembly references, and to have them such that when you install the package, they become assembly references in your project. And the way you write such package is as simple as writing, we have a little spec file, which we call a new spec, and that's a little XML file, which you would typically start from an existing one. That contains the the name of your package, the author name, basic description, this type of deal. And then you would just put the DLL in a lib folder, and that's basically it. You're ready to make a package. So if you start from an existing package and you want to make another one that just brings in some libraries, you would have it done in literally minutes.
So an example I looked at was setting up SQL CE with Enterprise, or gosh, Entlib. I'm trying to remember the exact name of it. It was SQL CE with Enterprise Library Code first. And I installed the one package and it pulled in all the, it said, oh, you also need these other two packages. And it figured all that out.
That's right. So
Say that name again.
I should just go with what Hanselman calls it, the Magic Unicorn Edition.
Oh, that's Entity Framework CTP4. I think that's what he's calling that.
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
That's right.
Is there any way you can create aliases for packages? And
aliases is, given that it's PowerShell, I bet you could come up with something that you could name a package something else if you found the need, which hopefully there isn't one, but...
And since you're just adding, I mean, this is a one-time thing. You add a reference to a project, so it's not like you're... I mean, what I did was I just did list-package, got the list of them, and then I just copied it, and then I did NAP, and then pasted it in and hit enter, and it just did all the magic.
That's right. And by the way, if you were to have just typed NAP or add package, and you would have got IntelliSense on the package name. You could have typed like one letter and tab, and you would have got the filtered list. So.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's what I did. Yeah.
Okay. So you brought in an interesting topic, which is dependencies. And of course, a big part of a package manager is to not just get packages individually, but is to manage the fact that in order to use one component, you need to bring in those other three components, and more specifically, a certain version of those components. And then you have to deal with a potential update scenario when new versions become available. So there's a lot of logic behind that are normally things that you would do by hand.
Right. And so like in that case, it pretty much exercises, in the case of that Magic Unicorn Edition, it pulls in, it exercises a lot of that stuff because it's pulling in the dependencies. It made updates in my web config.
That's right. Yes.
And then it saved things in packages.config. And it also set up this web activator thing, which you blogged about recently.
Yes. So yeah, the idea, so you brought in a couple interesting things here. So the first is the core feature is to bring in assembly references, but it really doesn't stop there. There are additional services that packages can provide. And one you mentioned is config transforms. So the example we like to take is ALMA package, although it's also the case for SQL CE. Or a number of others, that it's one thing to get the right assemblies into your project, but in order to actually make use of them, you have to make various changes to your configuration file. And if you don't know what those changes are, that itself can be pretty painful. So new pack packages can come with the built-in transform such that when you install it, all of those changes are made for you. And if you uninstall the package, you'll see all that stuff being cleanly removed.
That was actually a question we had come in on Twitter. David Alpert asked that. He said, how do you cleanly and easily remove a new pack installed package? So I think you just covered that. And he also asked if it's possible to customize the location of the packages folder or XML.
Mm-hmm. So, the situation right now is that if you have, say, a solution that has three projects in there and you use Newpack to get packages into various projects, we keep at solution level a folder called packages, which has essentially the raw package. And then we add references to those files from each of the projects. And I think what he's asking is there a way to relocate this packages folder to a location that is not just the solution level? And the answer is that currently there isn't, but this has been probably the top feature that people have asked for. So it's definitely something we have on our radar.
I can imagine this isn't just for web projects, right? I could be writing a Win32 service and pull down assembly references.
Oh, like yes. For now. Yes, yeah. Yes. Very good point. Very good point. So what's interesting is, of course, the root of this project is in something that was very much web-based, and the team working on it, at least the Microsoft part of the team, is the ASP.NET team. Yet mm-hmm. Newpack is itself not at all tied to web projects. You could have a console app, and bring in and Hibernate if you want to run that from a console app, and it'll work fine. You could have Silverlight apps. And in fact, if you look at the package feed, I've been really, really surprised how many Silverlight components have been submitted. And, you know, Windows Phone 7, obviously coming out soon. This is hopefully another big area that there will be many packages submitted. And I mean, pretty much there is no limitation on the project type.
So you mentioned config file transforms. Mm-hmm. How do you express those transformations, and how do you, what kind of flexibility do you have? Can you have conditional logic that says if it, this kind of project do this, if you know, that sort of thing?
What we have right now is actually fairly simplistic. So there is no conditional logic. And the way you express it is simply by writing what looks like a little web config file. You know, you don't use special instruction that says transform this into that. You pretty much put the web config content that you want, and it gets merged into the actual file in the project. So there are pros and cons to this system. You know, the pro is that it's extremely easy to author, because you literally take, I mean, you take a complete app and you just copy the bits and pieces that you want, and you put them in this transform file, and you're done. The cons is that it doesn't quite have the level of flexibility of system that would have conditionals and such. But as a matter of fact, if you look at the Visual Studio, you're probably aware of the feature that if you create a new project, you have your web config underneath which you have webconfig.debug and .retail. So there is a powerful transformation engine that's built into Visual Studio. And it has been raised that potentially we should move toward using that as a webconfig transform engine instead or in addition to ours.
So this is out there to reduce friction on being able to just bring new bits that you want to use into a project. And so now I'm thinking that we have the Visual Studio Extension Manager, we have the Web Platform Installer, we have NewPack. There's some overlap there, isn't there?
Well, it may seem like that at first, but the reality is that we are targeting a scenario that is drastically different from what those other package managers do. I mean, you might say between WebPI and the Visual Studio Extension Gallery, maybe those two have a little bit more overlap. So the main difference that I'm referring to is that those tools are about bringing things that are more machine level, or at least user account level. For instance, if you install a V6, it's something that is available in Visual Studio as a system-wide or user-wide setting. Whereas in our case, it's all about building an application. You know, it's really taking the scenario where if you wanted to use, you know, nHibernate or whatever today, you would have to go grab those DLLs and add assembly references to those. And we automate those steps. But everything we do stays within the confine of one solution. And one advantage of that is that since the packages folder is itself inside the solution folder, you could actually check in the entire thing in source control. And if another dev comes in and lists in that project, everything is ready to go. They don't even have to use NewPack because the files were already brought there. So NewPack is really about a development scenario. It's about making it easier at development time to bring in libraries, whereas things like WebPIs is about setting up your system, really.
So it's all project level configuration versus getting programs or features on my computer. It's all about adding something specific to my project.
Exactly. I mean, under no circumstance will NewPack ever modify some machine state. You know, every modification that it makes is basically files that are somewhere under your solution folder. We're never going to add things to the GAC or touch your registry or put anything in program files. You know, it's not what it's about. So the even though on the surface it looks like, oh, they're all kind of package manager, when it comes to the usage pattern, it's very much a different beast.
So that brings up something interesting that I saw Eric Hexter blog about recently, which was using NewPack with Solution Factory. And Solution Factory is an open source, it's similar, I guess, to Visual Studio project templates, but kind of at a higher level, because it doesn't just bring things into your project or solution. It can configure external folders and dependencies and stuff like that. So he had a post on using NewPack to kind of bootstrap Solution Factory to do that kind of, still not installing software on your computer, but kind of going outside of just putting things directly into your project. But is that something where you've seen or heard of people doing things that are kind of like using NewPack to do something that you hadn't imagined it being used for before?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that because in the end, the packages that we bring down are basically zip files that can contain arbitrary files. So you could totally envision a scenario where you use NewPack to get something out there from the feed that when expanded is just an arbitrary bunch of files, which could be executable or, you know, you could basically bring down a setup program that you would run. You know, in the end, it just brings down files that it expands. So in theory, there's no limit to the kind of files you could bring down. It's just that for the scenarios that we're primarily targeting is that you are bringing down files that help you build your app. Actually, I should talk about interesting scenarios that I haven't mentioned yet, is that in addition to doing config transform and bringing in libraries, another big thing that NewPack can do is bring down some tools. And what tools means, it could mean actually a couple of things. The first is that it can bring in executable file that gets put on the runtime path in your package manager console, in your NewPack console. So to give you an example of that, if you install the NUnit package, you basically say, oh, install NUnit package. And the next thing you can do is run NUnit.exe or the NUnit runner, whatever it's called, straight from the package manager console. So the idea here is that installing NUnit not only adds a library reference to your project, but also adds additional tools that let you do things.
One of the things that I thought was interesting was that people were talking about packaging up jQuery and some others. And I kind of wondered if it was possible to make a new pack that would actually, if you could bring it down and then put a reference into the version of jQuery that's hosted on the CDN, or to modify the package to put logic in that would say, you know, can I get to the CDN? If not, use the local. Because that's kind of another common scenario with jQuery. But I don't know. I guess I don't see a lot of the value in packaging up stuff like jQuery in a new pack. What do you think about
I think there is value. You know, if you look at an MVC project today, if you start a new MVC 3 project, you're getting jQuery and jQuery validation right in there. But potentially, those are things that can. And in fact, these are some of the earliest packages that we built were very much jQuery packages, and we still have them on the feed to see what we have today. Yeah, we have jQuery and jQuery validation. So the idea is, suppose you have a project that currently doesn't have jQuery, you could use that to bring it down. So the end result would be that you would have the jQuery files locally in your project. Now, for the scenario that you mentioned, where you want some kind of fallback behavior going to the CDN or using the local one, that's much more of a runtime-ish feature, which in itself is sort of outside the scope of NewPack. But what NewPack will do is bring down the right JavaScript files into your project.
I've been finding with that too. These are all definitely things where, like, some things are more of a pain in the neck to install. When I was originally trying out that Magic Unicorn Edition thing, I had to go here, I had to grab something, I had to go configure something, I had to add some code to my project. And those are all, I mean, it's all doable, but it was just kind of a pain in the neck. So it was nice from the package manager console, just say, set it up, you make it work. But then once you're doing that, I can see getting into the flow of just kind of, I want jQuery, go ahead, grab it. I want this, go ahead, grab it. And you're not having to jump over to your browser, figure out where the latest is, you know, what if there are any dependent, it's just all kind of
that's right
part of the flow of your work.
Yeah. I mean, and in that sense, you know, jQuery versus the Magic Unicorn Entity Framework is not that different. You know, one, of course, is a binary library and the other one is just text files. But in the end, there are pieces that you need to build your app. And as such, they are good candidates to be NewPack packages.
So is NewPack something that could be, for example, invoked by a new project wizard? Maybe not now, maybe this would be in the future, but you know, you say, I want a new web project, and as part of that new project wizard, it would invoke NewPack to install the current version of all these packages, the current version of jQuery, current version of jQuery yes. UI.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. And it's actually something I have been thinking about. We don't have it quite now. Like right now, the flow is you would at least need to manually using VS UI create a new empty library or web project. And then after that, you would go and install a bunch of packages. Or one scenario we do support as well is having the concept of a meta package, where you can make up your favorite five packages and call that some kind of meta package such that you can install all at once. But the step that we currently do not take is automatically creating a new project for you and then getting all those packages into there. But I absolutely see that as a possible direction that we could go into. And if you take that thought a little bit farther, I mean, you could really view this technology as, in a sense, replacing project templates. You know how today we have like a very, very large number and always growing number of a project template in Visual Studio, which each of them include like some set of files. In theory, you could view Newpack as putting together a custom project template by virtue of saying, oh, this is going to be a new library which happens to contain reference to those three or four things, and boom, that's a custom project template just the way you like it.
So one thing Scott Kuhn mentioned earlier was the idea of, you know, like I would like to add jQuery, and I'd also like to add in some script to check and fall back if I can't get to it on the CDN. And one thing that I would think to do that with is a snippet. Is it possible to, is there any kind of integration with snippet, Visual Studio snippets and Newpack at all?
No, there is no integration per se with snippets, but the closest thing is that a package, and that is one thing I have not mentioned yet, a package can actually contain source files. So, and in fact, we do use this functionality. If you install some of the packages that need early initialization, like what's that? Ninject, sorry, I couldn't think of the name. If you install Ninject, you'll see an actual source file being added into your project. And that source file has logic that will run on startup. But it's also, because it's a source file, it's something that you can change. So if you take, you know, that thought and change it a little bit, you could envision a package bringing down a bunch of potential interesting snippets that do things related to the library that it comes with. So the whole goal really is, if you look at the whole flow of working with some technology, I mean, it's one thing to bring it down to the project. It's another thing to configure it so it works. And it's yet another thing to actually learn how to use it. So even though it's a direction we haven't pushed so much now, I really view Newpack as something that could go a long way into the sort of teaching learning aspect of a library by virtue of bringing down all kind of sample looking things or snippets that really show you, yeah, this is how this thing that you just installed is actually used.
So we've talked around Web Activator a few times. And if you mentioned it in more detail, I spaced out. Did you talk specifically about?
No, I guess I did not. So Web Activator is something that I wrote to allow code to run at startup. So Newpack itself is able to bring down just source files. But if you take the scenario where you want to use Ninject in your project, well, in order to do that, you have to invoke some logic at application start time, right? But Newpack does not have the ability to go into your source code and change it and insert calls to some initialization logic. So the best you can do is bring in a file, a source file, which contains the initialization logic, right? But then you would have to go in global ASAX and in your application start, make the one call that say, oh, initialize this Ninject stuff. But what Web Activator gives you is the ability, by simply having this component take a dependency on the Web Activator package, it's able to mark a piece of code as being startup code such that you don't need to explicitly call it. So it sort of removes a step. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep. And I thought that was slick. I mean, it's almost kind of like partial classes for global ASAX or something. You know, I mean, it's a way.
Yeah, in a sense, you could say that. Huh. And actually, what's interesting about this feature is that in Visual Studio 2010, in Framework 4.0, we shipped as part of ASP.NET almost the feature that we would have needed for this, except that we did not allow it to be used more than once in one assembly. So here, like the scenario I described, you know, you could have one such source file that acts as startup code, but you could not have had a second one. simply because we did not have these kind of scenarios in mind. So we had this unfortunate limitation, which we will fix in the future. So what Web Activator is essentially the same feature that's already in 4.0, but we implement it as a slight variant, so it removes that limitation.
Okay.
So I'm poking around on the source code at newpack.codeplex.com, and it looks like it's broken out across several projects. One of those is the newpack.server, which looks like it's an MVC project, which would sort of imply to me if I wanted a local repository of, if I wanted a local repository, this is something I could build and host behind my firewall.
Yes, you could absolutely do that, but actually there is a much simpler way of doing that, which is to just put a bunch of Newpack packages in a folder anywhere on your machine. And then if you look at the Package Manager console, there is that UI that lets you pick additional feeds. And instead of putting an HTTP feed, you would just put a local path, C colon, whatever, to that folder. And just like that, you will have a local feed.
Okay, so, very good.
Of course, running this newpack.server is something you could do as well. And in fact, the code behind newpack.server is exactly what we are running right now. That's what the live feed is running. And this is sort of a little web server that we wrote to get us started. This is not what we'll be using going forward, because we have a fancy library in the work that will come alive at some point in the future. But in the short term, if you wanted to run an HTTP-based server, you could use that.
Okay. So what's the kind of flow? I go through, I create a package, I submit it to the Newpack packages project, and then what kind of magic happens in order for it to get, you know what I mean, for it to show up in that list?
Show on the feed?
Yeah.
Well, Eric Hexter did a lot of magic behind that to make it all happen, but, you know, essentially there's some scripts on the server that will, there's a CI machine that will find that there is a check-in and it's going to build all the packages, and it ends up with the binary, I mean, basically the new package files, and it copies them to a folder, which the web server, which is the same newpack.server that you mentioned in the solution, picks up, and that ends up in the feed. So if you run this newpack.server component, it has a folder that it listens to for changes. So the act of simply dropping an additional package in there makes it appear in the feed. So the question is, you know, how do they get dropped into that folder? And that's just build magic, CI and such, which we owe to Eric.
One of the different special things about Newpack is that it is one of the first truly open source products to come out of DevDiv, at least, you know, Microsoft, you know, in general. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about? And by truly open source, that means, you know, outside contributors, people on the team that aren't Microsoft employees, like the whole shebang.
Absolutely. So for us, you know, as you can imagine, it has been something that we're not like very used to, because we're Microsoft employees. We don't usually do that much open source. And there is some history of doing some open source in similar project. You know, you probably heard of the Orchard project, which is open source. Newpack actually takes it a step further than Orchard, in the sense that we don't just take like small patches and bug fixes, but actually real feature contribution. And as a matter of fact, even though we've only been now public and open source for maybe a couple of weeks, we've already had quite a few people contributing code. And even interestingly, one of the check-in that was made, I think, earlier today, is the same guy that had written the VS UI for the new Gems project went and did a very nice contribution to the UI that we have inside Visual Studio. His name is Killiman, is alias. I don't know his real name. So, I mean, generally, open source is something that I'm personally finding very exciting. It's very, very new to me and to most of the team members. So I'm learning everything about it in a sort of a crash course. My first exposure to it was when I did T4 MVC, which started about, you know, a year or so ago. But that was just sort of a small thing that I was working on by myself. This thing is basically the real thing. So it's both, you know, scary and exciting, but overall it's been a great experience.
So I know that must have been difficult to, like you were saying, that's not a huge thing at Microsoft, and some of that is just because, you know, there's legal requirements on Microsoft employees to be careful not to, they have to think about their open source involvement. So that must have been a challenge to get all this new pack stuff through legal, right? I mean,
oh sure, there was a lot of lawyer stuff going on, but yeah, in the end, they got through it. And I think, by the way, one thing I did not mention explicitly is that NewPack is actually not a Microsoft project, but it's a project that is under the Outer Curve Foundation, which until recently was called the CodePlex Foundation. So essentially, when us Microsoft employees work on NewPack, we really effectively are not working for Microsoft. We are working for the foundation.
Which is kind of wild. I mean, that's so you, as well as Bill Simser or anyone else that's working on NewPack, is contributing code to a project that's run by Outer Curve, and you're just Microsoft's donating your time, essentially. I mean,
yep, that about describes it. Yeah.
We had one other question. I think we'd already covered all this, but Elijah Manor was asking if he said, can NewPack support JavaScript file dependencies? What about pulling in unminified and minified, and will scripts be inserted into HTML? So I think from what you've said before, as far as JavaScript goes, it can add that to your project, but it's not going to go modifying anything outside of your configuration.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, he mentions dependencies. So of course, it does support dependencies such that if you install jQuery validation, you'll get both jQuery validation and jQuery. But it's not going to go and add the includes in your HTML to use those JavaScript files. These are the kind of things that we view as being sort of outside the scope. I mean, we would not know which HTML to change. Like, NewPack is not really about rewriting your code throughout to insert the features.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly about bringing the pieces, and then the rest is sort of the same flow as you would have done without NewPack.
So now I'm thinking about, with that sort of thing where you're dealing with modifying your HTML or JavaScript, you almost need like a web activator for that sort of thing, where you when your application runs, you need some sort of logic that says, okay, I've got these JavaScript dependencies, here's how I deal with them. As far as That's updating right. your script references and that sort of thing.
Yes. And I mean, yeah, typically this is the job of a client-side script manager or something like that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, technically, if you manage to turn that into server-side code that you can put in some kind of startup routine that registers something with some engine, I could envision, that working. But for the most part, the inclusion of those script files inside HTML files is beyond the scope of what we try to do.
Looking at the NewPack source, it looks to be pretty heavily unit tested, mm-hmm. which is great. Is that something that you guys specifically set out to do as one of the goals of the project, or is that just how the team members, were already working?
That is the way we're already working. I mean, if you look at most of the code that we write today, from MVC to all the web metrics, web pages code, I mean, there are lots and lots of unit tests behind it. So that's not really something new.
And when people contribute to the project, do you have requirements for them about, including tests or certain amount of test coverage?
Sure. I mean, if it makes sense, we don't want to be super picky, say, well, if you make a one line change, you got to add but when it makes sense, we do encourage people to add unit tests. And I suppose, in some situation where it's really badly needed and they haven't done it, we would reject submissions.
So now should I ask about T4 MVC, or were we done with?
Oh, well, I mean, we can talk about T4 MVC. I think for the most part, we've covered, a lot of the aspects of NewPack.
So NewPack is relying on CodePlex running these projects that are using Mercurial, but there's no direct real integration with Mercurial outside of that these PowerShell scripts are watching folders and are moving things around into feeds, right?
Oh, I'm not sure I understand your question, but I'll try to answer anyway. Once you run NewPack, definitely Mercurial is not in the picture. I mean, it may happen to be the source control system that you're using for a particular project, but there is no specific tie between the NewPack runtime and Mercurial. So I probably misunderstood your question.
That's because it was a nonsensical question, so don't worry about it.
There's been at least a couple people on Twitter have been curious about the relationship between NewPack and OpenWrap, and I know you mentioned at the beginning that this is the direction you wanted to go, but I'm just wondering, moving forward, would you ever picture some integration between the two, or I don't know, what could happen?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, what happened is that before we went public with Newpack, we had an online meeting where we demoed Newpack to a bunch of influential, including Sebastian from OpenWrap, and you know we showed what we had, and we definitely opened the possibility of working together if he was interested. It's not something that has happened at this point, but you know I would not exclude any possibilities.
It's been interesting in the .NET space. A lot of people have been asking for things like this, and it seems like we have a couple now.
Yes, it's
it's. I think it's exciting too. Like, I mean, when I started playing with it, I kind of, you know, it blew my mind a little bit, mostly because I was thinking, this is great. This is going to be a nice way for alpha geeks who are already using all these libraries. It's going to be quicker for them to get them installed. And I have this, as I played with it, I thought, you know, what if this went beyond that? And this is actually a way of getting, you know, your average Microsoft developer who wouldn't have even known about some of these packages, but now they're going to get this package manager installed. They're going to read about it on Scott Guthrie's blog. You know, it's just going to be part of the install, and then they're going to list their packages and they'll see all these great things out there that they never knew about. And maybe,
yep,
hopefully that'll make it easier for them to sell it to their pointy haired boss to say, you know, this is, look, in Visual Studio, I say list packages and look, these packages are here. Can I put this in our project? You know?
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a very, very good point. And it's something that I've seen several people mention similar things on Twitter, that they really were viewing this thing as a great way to discover open source libraries that they otherwise would not have tried, you know, either because they didn't know about them or because they were too hard to bring into a project. But now you have this thing on your machine and you get a list and you're like, wow, I'm going to try. What about this one and this one?
Mm-hmm.
And there was even a guy at some point that like made an analogy with those Pokemon where he's like, yeah, the goal is to collect them all. So he was like going one by one and trying all the packages.
That's funny. I was showing this to, I was working with Jesse Liberty on a video thing and I showed him Newpack and he's like, oh, great. How do I just add them all? I'm like, well, no, you don't really want to do that. You know?
Yeah, well, technically you can, you know, because since we're using PowerShell, you can do things like if you do list packages and then you pipe that to install or add package, it will actually attempt to install them all. I'm not sure that it will go very well because that's 140 some packages, but it will at least try. I don't suggest it. So another thing that's been, you know, fascinating is just watching people's comments on Twitter and really the feedback, which has been overwhelmingly very good. You know, of course, there's always people who have bad things to say, but for the most part, you know, things have been very, very positive, and we see things that for us really make us feel good about what we're doing, that we are going in the right direction. One particular case that I'll mention, which the team thought was really cool, is that this Sublogic project that they actually went and put together a little screencast, I think that was yesterday, where they basically show their product being installed through Newpack, and they say in there, Newpack is basically the way you get our product, you know, as the, even though we've only been out for 2 weeks, they were already viewing it as the one and best way of getting their product onto people's machine, which for us was a very nice thing to hear.
That's funny. Another thing Phil Hack was saying was, this is going to be a great way just for me to have demos set up, because I can just, you know, have all my demo code ready and just say, okay, here we go. And just have it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in fact, to make a small bridge into T4 MVC, since I run the T4 MVC open source project, I often need to, you know, set up a new project where I include T4 MVC. And I always used to do that by, I knew I had it in various folders and I would go and grab it and copy it. And I've already had three or four cases where I found myself with Newpack on a Visual Studio install, and I literally bring down T4 MVC and found that, wow, this thing really, really is nice. Like for myself as a user, seeing the great benefit of our own product, which always feels good.
One of the areas that Microsoft has been criticized in the past has been coming in to a space where there's maybe other, you know, open source implementations and sort of making their version of it instead of, you know, supporting one of those existing platforms, whether that be, you know, the unit test framework or, you know, IOC container, or what have you. And I think some people have, you know, criticized you guys with Newpack that, you know, this might be another example of that. And I'm wondering if you guys, you know, gave that any consideration when you were developing this.
We did, but first, you know, I want to point out when you bring up the unit testing framework, and that was a case where when at the time we did that, there were solutions available out there that were widely accepted. And in that sense, doing our own maybe was not the best idea. But this situation here with Newpack is quite different in the sense that even though there were some kind of new efforts going on, there was no solution that was widely accepted as, oh, this is the package manager. You know, all we saw is, well, there is various things going on. And in fact, that is why we approach the new Gems guys, because at the time, they were basically the project that had all the momentum. And that is the reason why we decided to work with them. So we did, to a large extent, open up to the community. But, you know, of course, we couldn't necessarily work with everybody at once.
So David, one of the other things you've worked on has been T4 MVC. What's the current state of that? Where's that going now?
So T4 MVC is a, you know, a much smaller scope project than Newpack, which really just started as a little T4 template that I did, which had as its primary goal to help remove literal strings from MVC apps. So typically when you write an MVC app, you end up having to write the controller name and the action names and the view names as literal string in various places in your code, which is often not so easy to maintain. So T4 MVC is a template. It's a .tt file that you drop in a project and which automatically generates some code, which you can then use as an alternative to the standard MVC pattern to remove those literal strings from a lot of places in your code. So, I mean, I can talk a little bit more about it. Maybe the status and the history, like it very much started as a personal project that, you know, it was a little fun thing to do. It was a kind of a small blog post, which led to another blog post, which led to making it, you know, more or less an official project. And we eventually, I mean, for me, the reason T4 MVC is very interesting in the context of this discussion is that was my first real exposure to something that was open source. Because at some point, after having, you know, worked on T4 MVC by myself, we decided to include it as part of the MVC Contrib project, which is a project that Eric Hexter and some other guys are running. And that's where it's been ever since. I think it's been in there for, I don't know, 6 to 8 months, maybe. And since that, and even before that, I have been getting quite a lot of external contributions. So it's
it was an interesting evolution. I remember one of the early blog posts, and it just seemed like there was a constant stream of, well, can you do this? And can you do this? And hey, I just made this better for quite a while.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, it started with like one or two simple ideas, which got expanded. And some people were just like sending me code, want you to do this, do that. And in fact, one thing that I had found amazing at the time is that the majority of people were not emailing me and saying, oh, can you please add this feature? They were saying, oh, look, I wrote this feature. Would you like to put it in? Which to me, having not dealt with open source, was something that was very new and that I felt was great, because I didn't have to do nearly as much work to evolve the project.
I remember one thing that was interesting was the evolution of how you how it's run when you build your project. Like, I think that changed over time, right? The triggers in which you...
Well, yes. I mean, some of the very, very early, like pre-versions of it were using an entirely different mechanism. They were based on control builders or a much more like runtime-ish mechanism. But once I switched to have it be basically based on T4 templates, which was, you know, maybe only 6 weeks after I started, I never went back on that decision. You know, it has been this way ever since.
I think what I'm thinking of is there was something where there was a build action for the files that you would configure that would run and then somebody else had worked on, I think, a VS add-in to do that.
Oh, yes. That's right. Okay. So what you're mentioning is that when you have a T4 template in your project, when you make changes to your source files, the T4 template needs to re-execute, which is something that you can always do manually by right-clicking on it and choosing Run Custom Action. But someone ended up writing a little add-in, which name unfortunately eludes me because I have bad memory, but it's something that actually comes with additional functionality, which you know, it does stuff like JavaScript minification and things like that. But among other functionality, it runs D4
is that
MVC.
Like a less CSS, dot less?
Is that... Well, no, dot less is one of the features.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
Oh, here, I got the name. It's called Chirpy.
Oh, right, yes, okay.
It's a very nice little add-in. So that's today is sort of the recommended way. If you use D4 MVC, it's the best way to keep it running and up to date in your project, such that if you make changes to your controllers, you know, add new actions and such, you get the code regenerated when it should be.
Well, so how does all, so you mentioned, you know, that you're working on NewPack, you do stuff with ASP.NET, you work on T4 MVC kind of as a side thing. I know you've worked also with Web Matrix and ASP.NET web pages. How does all this fit together? Like, is there, what's the division of what you spend your time on these days?
Well, until we started NewPack, indeed, I was spending most of my time working on the ASP.NET web pages, which is the sort of the new framework that comes with Web Matrix, and that is still something that I work on. But now, really, in the last few months, NewPack has been the primary project that I'm involved with. And T4 MVC is very much something, you know, on the side. I can't say that I spend all that much time on it.
And then for your work with ASP.NET web pages, is that, I know you've worked some on the helpers. Do you just kind of work all over in that product, or what specific things do you work on there?
Well, I mean, as an architect, I haven't been like really writing much code in it, but I'm involved in a lot of the design discussions. So, you know, things related to the parser and the razor syntax and the add helpers, you know, and a lot of the basically a lot of the aspects of web pages are, you know, we have lots of design meetings or mostly email threads, and I'm involved in those.
Okay.
But of course, what's interesting is that the work on ASP.NET web pages sort of was the seed in a very indirect way that got us to work in the direction that has since become NewPack. And I should also mention that the original scenario that I described earlier, where NewPack was being run inside the web app, is still very much alive. If you install the latest version of a web matrix and you have a web pages project, there is a way today that you can get from within an admin page new components. And we're using this to deliver helpers out of band. So the original scenario that started NewPack, even though it hasn't been the one that has made the news recently, is still very much there. And the engine that runs all that logic is the very, very same one. So the even though people, you know, only see NewPack in the context of Visual Studio, there is a core assembly in there called newpack.core, which has absolutely no ties to VS and is usable in various other contexts. Another one that we're are planning to do sometime soon is a plain command line utility that lets you, you know, download and install packages straight from a regular command window outside VS.
I think that's interesting that in terms of, you know, like ASP.NET web pages, I know that the reaction from some people when it came out was like, well, how does this affect me as a, you know, an MVC developer? And I think that that's an interesting, like, indirect thing. I mean, other than, you know, that there's relation with Razor and with the helpers that you can use those in MVC. But then also, like you're saying, that was the actual impetus for getting that NewPack going, which is kind of
right.
Unexpected. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, it's just the way things happen, you know. It's not a path that was pre-written that way. It's like, well, we started working on that. It's interesting. Let's make it work for MVC. And it led us to where we are today.
Cool.
Are we all out of questions? All right. Then I guess I'll just have to ask the last question, which is, David, do you have anything exciting coming up, like or interesting links, or do you have any speaking presentations coming up, anything along those lines?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I have a talk on NewPack at Dev Connections in Vegas. I believe it's on November 2nd.
Yes, Dev Connections Las Vegas.
That's right.
Yeah, wonderful conference. All right, well, thank you for being on the show.
I'm happy to be on it.
Yeah, that was a lot of good information. Yeah, thank you for listening. Go ahead.
Sorry, just as a closing statement, I just want to mention that, of course, if anybody is interested in contributing to New Pack, like, we absolutely welcome contributors and, you know, play with the product. If you see things that you don't like, make suggestions, file bug on New Pack, codeplex.newpack.com. Sorry, newpack.codeplex.com. And you know, we are very open to changing the product based on feedback and receiving contributions.
Very good. Well,
great.
Thanks a lot. Thank you to everyone who is listening to this episode of Herding Code. Tune in again next week.